Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney, so what?
It's the Twits Odyssey again. We thought we were almost finished. We're clearly not. We're almost at the end. We've just done a day in the life of Roald Dahl in the last episode or two. The next couple of pages is called Gobble Funk. And it says, Roald Dahl loved playing around with words and inventing new ones. In the BFG, he gave this strange language an even stranger name, Gobble Funk. Now, I don't think we should get into this because this reminds me of that fucking thing, twee swearing, where people put fucking twee words in with, I can't even think of any examples at the minute. What was it, they fucking...
Cockwomble.
Cockwomble's the fucking prime one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I did a section about it in me getting the seat.
I remember reading that in your book, yeah. And you're right about it, cockwomble and all that. And people are so pleased with themselves when they say it.
Yeah.
Like,
twat
I'll still
puffin
see
is another one, isn't it?
What?
Twat puffin.
Yeah.
Fuck
I just
off.
Like it. You see it on, like, Facebook, and it'll just be someone, they're so pleased with themselves for using it. They always act as if they're the first ever person to have used it, and they think it's so imaginative. But you can go broader than this, and Roald Dahl is very much responsible for this. And I was singing this at the weekend, that there's something insufferably twee about just nonsense speak, generally.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's so funny, because it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Do you see what I'm getting at? Like, people who talk the sort of nonsense, like nonsense poetry and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And people like really laugh their heads off because people are saying words that are silly and don't make any sense. There's something about that I find slightly irritating and twee.
Well, I mean, there's loads of them here. Crods collop, blabber snitch, horn swoggler, time twiddler.
It's the sort of thing you can just imagine Radio 4 listeners like dabbing the corners of their eyes about.
Splash winkle.
A goggler. Do you know what it is? I tell you, the fucking king of this is fucking Boris Johnson. He thinks this shit's hilarious.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, he's always writing it and saying it.
I don't know if he uses words that are real or not off the stuff he says.
No, he makes fucking words like this, and people think it's one. But people think it's marvelous. Oh, classic Boris.
Oh, God. Whoopsie splunkers. Used to describe something absolutely marvellous. Fuck off.
Horn swoggler, a very dangerous creature. It's funny, because in real life there's no such thing.
Buggles means completely crazy.
Splatchwinkle. Splatchwinkle means rushing around in a hurry. Ice docking. That's when you freeze a turd and sodomise someone with it. Hang on, what book was that in?
One of the dark ones, the adult ones.
James and the Giant Peach.
Fuck that then. We'll just gloss over that bit. And the next page is Roald Dahl Says. And it's a series of quotes from Roald Dahl, so we'll go through them one by one, see where we get. First one. I think probably kindness is my number one attribute in a human being. I'll put it before any of the things like courage or bravery or generosity or anything else. If you're kind, that's it.
Bang. That's all that fucking matters.
When I meet someone for the first time, obviously I'm taller than them, so I'll go up to them and I'll look down, I'll put my hand on their shoulder, I'll look them in the eye, say, are you kind or what?
Are you kind or are you some sort of cunt? Which is it?
Answer now.
And even if they say kind, I don't always believe them. I look deep into their fucking eyes, so I've got a sixth sense for this sort of thing.
I
don't think you are kind, I think you're a lying cunt.
I myself am not always kind. I didn't say I had to be. I said I like it in other people. I'm quite the cunt when I need to be, but, you know,
that's
why
fucking,
I'm a success.
Yeah, that's just what, if you need to get by in my industry, you need to be a bit of a cunt sometimes, you know?
When I say to someone...
I make no apologies.
I say to someone, are you kind? Basically what I'm saying to them is, are you a soft touch who I can manipulate?
Yeah.
So, you know, it works.
You might go to heaven, I might go to hell, but as long as we're down here on earth, I'm going to have the upper hand on you.
And the thing about me is I don't believe in it, so I'm not going anywhere. When you're dead, you're dead. They'll burn me in the bonfire and send me right in it.
Listen, let me tell you, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the fucking afterlife. I don't believe in any of that shit, right?
I don't even believe in the existence of a soul. So, take it or leave it.
That's why I'm fucking living it up while I fucking can. Sometimes I just think that all of this is a fucking dream anyway. So, yeah, anything you do doesn't have consequence, really.
The thing is, at the end of the day, we're all animals. You know, yeah. It's fucking dog eat dog.
State of nature, and mate.
And I'm 6 foot six, so fucking, I'm on top of the world, mate.
I've met that, Attenborough, countless times. Boring cunt. But one thing that we do agree on is that nature is fucking brutal. And I says to him, because I saw him at Tom Stoppard's when he was having one of his drinks parties. And I said, right, Attenborough, I want a word with you. I've seen what these fucking animals have been up to, right? With the lions fucking eviscerating the fucking, what do you call them? The springboks and that, right? That's like me. That's like me and lesser authors, isn't it? And he basically said, yeah, that is Rold. That's what I thought of when I was making it.
This is Rold, I thought. This is Rold to a fucking tea.
A classic Rold, that.
So, next quote. I am totally convinced that most grown-ups have completely forgotten what it's like to be a child between the ages of 5 and 10. I can remember exactly what it was like. I am certain I can. Fucking test me. Go on.
Whatever.
What the
tell
fuck?
Me. I'll go back. I can do that thing where I actually regress myself in like they do, like them hypnotists do. I can just
do it.
I can do it, right? You want me to be six-year-old role now. Watch this. Hello, I'm six-year-old Roll. Can I have a biscuit? See, I just did that. I was in.
I had no control over that. It just happened.
And I can do it for any stage in my life between 5 and 10. No problem. That's how I come up with the ideas in a book. I effectively interview myself. So I go, five-year-old Roll. Hello.
Hello.
What would you like to read a book about?
I'd like to read a book about a man who runs a chocolate factory.
Good fucking idea, I'm writing that down. What else?
I want to read a book about a big giant.
A big giant? Won't that be a bit fucking scary?
No, because he'll be friendly.
Oh, nice one, I'll write that down. Big friendly giant, good. Now we're getting somewhere. That's how it works.
I do market research on my own self.
On my own regressed persona. Nah, I suppose it's a gift, yeah. You could call it a gift, but that takes away some of the credit from me because I have learned how to do that.
You can knock it, but it's been a success. Everyone a hit.
Bang! James the Giant Peach. Bang! George's Marvellous Medicine. Bang! Fantastic Mr. Fox. All of them. Hits. Hits after hit after hit. And all because of my patented regression... regression therapy.
And then he's chucked a controversial one, and after that, he says, when I first thought about writing the book Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I never originally meant to have children in it at all. What?
I thought, no one wants to read about fucking kids, do they?
Charlie was going to be a fucking dog.
And a factory weren't even going to be a chocolate one. It were going to be knocking out parts for fucking vacuum cleaners. And it weren't going to be in England. It were going to be one of them fucking ones out in Taiwan where they'd knock it out all cheap. That was what I got the idea from, because I was fixing my Hoover. And I thought, all these fucking bits, where'd they come from? It came to my attention that they're all being knocked out by these fucking factories out in Taiwan. And I start thinking to myself, what? I thought, hang about, I thought it was us that won the fucking war, right? So how come it's all that lot making our fucking Hoovers for us now? I'm going to write a novel about it, I thought. A lot of it was about the lack of human rights and that out there.
I thought, we can't have that. We need to get industry back into Britain. So I thought, I'll have a massive dog. And the dog just stamps all over the factory and it kills all the workers. But the publisher wasn't into it.
But
a bit more kid-friendly.
He
I said,
he
well,
liked
I'm knocking out as a Tales of the Unexpected episode instead. They said we had got the budget for it.
That's what I did. A lot of me offcuts were put on Tales of the Unexpected, but that one was too pricey. But I might go back to it one of these days.
I'll see if Quentin Blake can draw it for me. Do it as a cartoon. So, yeah, never originally. I don't know what he fucking originally meant to have. Who was going to be in the factory, just Wonker on his own? Were they going to be, was it going to be Roy Kinnear going round having a look at the factory?
Yeah,
nah,
just,
no, I'm not buying
nah,
that.
It
wouldn't
have worked. Was that his first book, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory's first kid's book?
I haven't got a fucking clue. I don't know what order did them in. I don't know. You'd think it would be in this fucking thing, wouldn't it?
I read the book he did once. When I was a kid, I read his memoir of childhood called Boy. Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what they called him. And what I remember was, I can't remember why, I know he's a pilot, I think he was a pilot, wasn't he, in the Second World War. And there was a bit, and I can't remember whether it was that or whether it was, I think it might have been when he was younger, he made some sort of box car, you know, like that you race down hills. And he had an accident in it and smashed his own nose off.
Wow.
He lost the end of his nose.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Oh, my nose has come off.
Oh, fuck. Where is it?
I can't
Where
smell
is
a
it?
Thing. Quick,
everyone,
put it some ice.
Everyone, look around on the floor. It'll be here somewhere. We'll sew the cunt back on.
I'll keep my hand over the wound while you find it.
Fuck, mate, this is all I need. Fucking love smelling as well. Probably my favourite thing.
I remember being a kid reading, or we were read a story, and it was about a kid who had one of them boxcars, and I think he fucking died.
Well, I'm not surprised.
You know when you get read one of them stories when you're a kid that's like dark?
Yeah.
Try and teach you how to deal with death and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the kid was terminally ill anyway, innit?
It wasn't so bad.
Yeah. It was. It was convenient.
Kid. Who thinks there was a moral to that story? Put your hands up. No? All right, well, I'll tell you what it was then, kids. The thing is, right, you were going to die anyway because they caught his cancer late, right? Very late. It was at an extremely advanced stage. The doctors gave him no fucking hope whatsoever. Yeah? So in the end, he's gone out in a blaze of glory, and frankly, that's a better way to go. Fuck having a painful, slow death.
The moral of the story is we're all dying anyway, so just take risks.
Yeah.
All the time.
Like, you know, you see a wall, fucking jump on it. Climb up it, jump on it, jump off it, do what you fucking want, because that's what walls are there for. And you might have cunts and curmudgeons going, oh, you might hurt yourself. Well, you can turn around and go, listen, mate, I might get fucking cancer tomorrow.
The thing is, we're all just fucking little dots in the universe. Inconsequential little dots.
Grains of fucking sand.
Who's to say this isn't all a dream anyway? So, you know. Right, that's the bell. Off you go out for playtime. And then back in and we'll do some maths.
If you're all still alive, that is, because you could easily die in the playground.
Get yourselves
of risks.
Out there, take some risks. Get on them big walls.
Life's for fucking living. Yeah? That's the school motto.
Where are we? Yeah, the made-up fact about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. This is a good one. What, you want another quote? Fucking hell. Here's one. Yeah, right. If I had my way, I would remove January from the calendar altogether and have an extra July instead. How's that? Is that all right?
Yeah, that's one of my good theories. I've had that knocking about for a while. In fact, obviously I've met the Queen a few times and I always pitch it to her whenever I get the chance. But, I mean, that dopey cow, I don't know if she's on the fucking happy pills or what, but you come out with good ideas like that and she more or less stares straight through you with a fucking vacant gaze.
In fact, I haven't met her for about 14 years now. She stopped meeting me. Don't know why.
A fella, you know, he's a good bloke. I could talk to him for hours on end. He's got some great fucking views on things, right? He's a fella I like, and I don't like many cunts. In fact, I've said to him, anytime you're in the area, come in the feathers, because the lads would love to see you, right? And he said he would, but, you know, he's a busy man. Fair enough, I don't take it personally. But as for her, no, wasted on her. I think she's away with the fucking fairies.
I mean, fucking think about it. You go from December to February, and then you have, in the summer, July, and then July 2, you call it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Can't fail. Or have a 62-day July. Fuck me, imagine that.
Makes no odds to her, because, of course, as soon as fucking winter kicks in, she's off on her fucking plane to the sunshine anyway. She's not even aware of human months. She's got her own months. Like, she's got all them fucking birthdays. She's got her own months. Are you talking about human months? Yeah, that's right. What other fucking sort of months are they? Excuse me, an aide takes me aside. Her Royal Highness doesn't use the human calendar. What one does she use then? She has her own royal calendar that she follows. And her body and eggs evolve according to that.
That's why she has two birthdays.
Oh, well, fucking hell. Well, I mean, she can still take interest in the human calendar, can't she? I'm afraid not, no. She doesn't understand it.
She denies all knowledge of it.
If you continue to refer to it, you will anger her, and she will be forced to use her powers.
She'll turn you into a hornswoggler.
Yeah, all right. Oh, message, I write that down. Message fucking received and understood. I don't want to see that. I'll keep my trap shot. I'll maybe run it by Philip if he pops by the feathers.
The final quote in that page is, you can write about anything for children as long as you've got humour. Again, it's very fucking vague. He's just knocked that out for this page of quotes.
Chuck a couple of fucking jokes in and they will lap any old shite up.
You can write about fucking dog porn for kids as long as you put a couple of gags in.
Yeah, copy out a fucking instruction manual for a fucking electronic keyboard, right? And if you chuck a couple of daft words in there and a bit with some cunt falling out of a tree, they'll fucking lap it up, trust me.
And then we move on to Roald Dahl's family. Roald Dahl's father, Harold, was Norwegian. When he was 14, he had a terrible accident and had to have his left arm amputated. Fucking hell. That's even worse than losing the tip of your nose. But in spite of missing a hand, he always managed to tie his own shoelaces. So that's good. That's a positive.
I'll tell you what, I've got one hand, but I always tie my own shoelaces. Think on.
How many hands do you really need?
I know plenty of cunts with two hands who can't tie their laces as well as me. So, I'll take me one hand, thanks very much. Thanks for asking.
That makes me better than them cunts. Roald's mother, Sophie, was also Norwegian. She married Harold in 1911 and they had five children. Astri, Alfhild, Roald, Else and Asta. Roald was the only boy in a family of sisters. I wonder if that's significant. Oh, sadly, Astri died from appendicitis when she was 7.
Yeah.
Fuck, I had appendicitis when I was 7, Sam.
Did you?
That could have been me, yeah.
Well, it can get serious very quickly, appendicitis, can't it?
Well, it fucking did. I found myself 2:30 p.m. one Monday afternoon in school, throwing up all over the desk.
Were you in
7
agony?
7 p.m. Agony, doubled up, couldn't walk. I had to walk home past that wall I was talking about in Shiny Row.
And you couldn't even get on it?
I was double. I didn't get on it.
I bet you're fucking tempted though, mate. Even in that state, You're like, yeah, oh, I can't be able to just get up this wall. No, I can't do it. I must be bad.
I'll just do a little length of it. No, you can't. And your mum goes, throw it up again.
Your mum goes, how bad is it? How bad is the pain? How bad is it? I'm fucking, put it this way, I couldn't even fucking walk along the wall. And you know, nothing stops me from doing that.
7 p.m. that night, I was under the knife. But
and
I
they,
did,
just,
I was only
they
seven,
just take so your appendix out, yeah?
Just took it out, yeah. I was in
because
for a week.
The danger is if it bursts, then it releases
it,
poison, doesn't it?
Yeah, releases
he's
poison
no.
into your bloodstream.
Sorry, Mrs. Dawson,
well,
he's fucked.
It.
It's burst.
That's
all
it,
the poison,
Astrid.
All the poison's in his body now, so there's nothing we can
yeah,
do.
It's all over. All his blood's gone. It's all turned into poison now.
He's released.
And that's
he's
it.
Just got pure poison pumping through his veins.
So go in there and say ta-ra to him.
Say your goodbyes. I hope he's got his affairs in order.
I hope we took a lot of risks while he was alive.
I hope he's done a lot of wall work. Another one said a kid died. He's barely been on a wall in his life.
Has he decided who's getting his football 79 sticker book?
You know, go and ask him now before the poison takes hold. I just need a name.
If it's someone in this room, point to them.
Is it one of your mates? Say the name. He can't. Oh, fucking hell. All right, I'll name some of your mates, and you nod when I get to the one you want to have them. Oh, fuck, I can't remember any of his mates' names. Just say names, boys' names. Stephen. Callum. Jerry. Gods.
Mike.
Zemo. Roland. Tucker. Danny.
Michael. Jermaine. Tito.
Gripper Stetson. Is it him? Ralph. Ralph Mouth.
Oh,
Potsy. The Fonz.
He's
Richie. Is it Richie Cunningham?
He's faded. This has gone up in the courts.
Well, this is a legal grey area now.
God.
legally, that sticker book belongs to, well, I suppose it belongs to the crown.
Belongs
it reverts
to the state.
It reverts to the crown. It belongs to the queen and we cannot touch it. Fucking hell. If only he'd fucking held out a few moments longer. Now, the amount of admin... I can't take... No, Mrs. Dawson, I know you're upset, but the amount of admin you and all of us have got on our hands now is unbelievable. You think you feel bad now? The pain has only just begun, trust me.
His death is the least of your worries.
This is just the fucking start. You are going to be locked in fucking admin hell for years. Disaster. And he's the lucky one because he's out of it. He's gone. He's the luckiest cunt of all of us because he's washed his hands of the whole situation. JTFN dickheads, good luck with fucking that sticker album.
So, yeah, I mean, fortunately I survived. Yeah, and I'm here to date the tale.
This is going all the way to Strasbourg, this, trust me.
So, poor Astrid died from appendicitis when she was 7, and Rose's father died of a broken heart 2 months later.
Oh, no, that's
Jesus.
Awful.
That's brought a fucking bummer down on the whole thing.
Fucking ass. I remember in that book, actually, boy, it was. There were, I remember it having quite a lot of sadness in it, yeah.
We were having a good laugh there about my imaginary death, and we just.
Yeah, exactly.
Vibe down
we felt
totally.
More. It didn't feel as guilty talking about your death, but yeah, I do feel bad about talking about Roald Dahl's family deaths.
And Roald was only 3 at the time, so he never really knew his father, so that's very sad.
Jalapeño.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Then there's some more stuff about other family members. He was close to his sister. His mother sent his sister to boarding school in Switzerland, and his sister ate her train ticket so that she would have to be collected and brought home.
Fucking power play.
Totally, yeah.
Fucking hell.
Now then, yeah. Elsa, we're going to send you away to a school where you will live and you will never see us until the summer.
It's in another country, up a mountain.
Off you go. Fucking what? I'm fucking eating the ticket.
Fucking hell. I'm not going there. Well, how are you going to get out of it? Fucking easy. What's this?
I'll eat the ticket.
Eat. Gotta go back now. Tickets. The ticket bloke comes round. Tickets, please. Yeah, I've got a ticket. It's in my fucking guts. So unless you've got a fucking x-ray machine, I can't prove it. You can wait for me to shit it out, but it'll be all pulpy by then. You're better off sending me home, unless you like rifling through shit.
And to be honest, I'm just a kid, so it'll be pretty weird. Don't do that.
Yeah, I think it's better for all of us. Just fucking cut your losses and send me on the next train home.
Roald himself had five children, Olivia, Tessa, Theo, Ophelia and Lucy. Oh, God, another one died. Olivia died of measles when she was seven, the same age as his eldest sister.
There was so much tragedy in the olden days, mate. There was so much tragedy.
Yeah.
Life was fucking hard. I tell you what, I mean, this might not be that much help if you're feeling down, but when you do feel down, sometimes you just have to think, we live in the land of milk and honey.
We do, very much so.
I mean, we talk about even in comparison to when we were kids in like the 80s, right? And how.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shit then. There's a lot of shit we've got now that we didn't have then. Like, I sometimes get up in the morning, go downstairs to make tea, and I think, and I sort of imagine myself, this is actually true, but sort of quite funny. Mm. I actually do sometimes imagine myself in like a science fiction film, right? Because you go in, and sometimes I'll say to like the Alexa machine, I'll go, play six music or whatever. Play Radio 4. I want to know what the latest news is.
Yeah.
Right? And it comes alive and plays it. And then you like, you know, you switch your kettle on, which admittedly is not that space age, I suppose. Or like the coffee machine. Right? Mm. And so you the first thing you do is start pressing loads of automated buttons to make stuff start coming alive. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very like sci-fi.
When I was a kid, you'd get up in the morning in the winter and you'd have to light the fire. You'd have to put fucking sticks and newspaper and coal and light the fire. Otherwise, you'd be fucking freezing.
Freezing. Yeah. We used to wake up and you'd have we had a gas fire. We didn't have a coal fire. But
in the south. Yeah,
we're quite upmarket. But that's all we had. We didn't have central heating. And when you woke up, you'd breathe and there'd be like that cold steam would come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And it'd take fucking ages to heat up.
Yeah.
And that was like the 80s, like, which is, you know, so we had it. We didn't know we were fucking born. You look just to like one generation back, like, and just people were fucking dying left, right and centre. Fancy dying of the fucking measles. Seems ridiculous now, doesn't it?
Yeah. Different times. So now we're on to the last section, the very, very last section of this, which is Roald Dahl's writing hut. Quentin Blake's drawn a picture of it. I don't think he's tried very hard. And I don't think that's to scale either, because that's just a fucking shed that you'd probably keep some gardening tools in. You can't sit in there and write. Fucking hell. Claustrophobic.
Mate, did you not see Roald Dahl's puffin passport in your book?
Yeah, but I didn't understand the fucking concept of it. I can't understand his writing either.
Okay, I'm going to rewind it because there's some stuff in here that's worth it, right? First of all,
right, then.
I was a member of the Puffin Club. right? My dad signed me up to it in one of his numerous failed attempts to turn me into, like, an intelligent and nice boy, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't blame him for. I just wasn't up to the job. And so I joined it, and and I can't remember what you got out of it. They sent you, I think you got like a certain...
A badge.
Yeah, you got a badge and all that stuff. And then I think you did get a certain number of books a year or discount on books, right? But you also got a puffin passport. And I've only just remembered this because, you know, you got to fill it in yourself.
Oh, this was right?
Yeah, they're trying to push you towards the puffin club with this. So Roald Dahl's done his own one. Because kids love having things to fill in about themselves. In fact, the next time... My son is bothering me because he's bored and I can't think of anything to do. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to type out, like, a questionnaire.
This.
They love questionnaires. They love it, right? Yeah. Because they're narcissists. Children are narcissists. You know it's true that the empathy part of the brain has not yet fully evolved until they're through adolescence, right?
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, when you've got an adolescent child and they think everything's unfair... So you ask them, like, you've just cooked a fucking meal for them, right? And you've done all the rest of it. And then you just say, can you clear your plate? And they act like you're taking the actual massive piss, right? That's because, like, they don't... The part of your brain that produces empathy serum, right? it's not fucking fully evolved. And that's why when they're teenagers, in particular, they're a fucking nightmare. But anyway, they're not... So children are narcissists.
Children
are narcissists. Give them a questionnaire, they're fucking delighted, right?
Yeah.
And Roald Dahl's like, yeah, I'll fucking do it. Autograph. They love doing autographs as well, kids. That's another good thing. You go, I'm bored, and you're busy. I'm fucking watching the snooker. Find something to do, right? I haven't got anything to do. All right, look, I've got a fucking challenge for you. Do your autograph 1,000 times on this piece of paper. They'll go, all right. They'll go, all right, yeah, I'll do it. So he's done that.
I'm famous.
Yeah, birthday, blah, blah, blah. 1916 he was born. Colour of eyes, blue. No, blue-grey. Put blue-grey. Blue sounds a bit too straightforward. Mine are bluey-grey.
Colour of Norwegian, hair, for fuck's sake.
Colour of hair, greyish. Special virtue, right? I've got a good one for this. But never satisfied with what I've done. That's like a way of him saying... I'm a fucking perfectionist. Special
I'm a fucking
vice.
Cunt.
Special vice. He's written drinking.
Drinking.
And I don't mean fucking orange squash either, kids. I don't mean fucking lemon barley water. I mean proper drinking.
Hard liquor.
Man's drinking.
Lunchtime gin.
Drinking to help you forget. Originally, he'd written drinking to forget, but then the publisher had rubbed that out. Favourite colour? Easy. Yellow. Next question.
Same colour as my legal pads that I write my books on.
Listen to this, right? Favourite food? Caviar. He's actually put caviar, the mad cunt. Fucking obvious, isn't it? Caviar's the best food. How do you know that? Because it's the most fucking expensive. And I eat
it... Just let me helicopter.
I eat it for breakfast, lunch and dinner. And the best stuff is my helicopter caviar. I keep a fucking stash of it on there.
I eat it till I'm fucking sick.
Nothing beats the feeling of flying in your own helicopter, right, over houses, scoffing your fucking face with caviar until you can't take any more and you throw up over the people below. Oh, black fishing puke.
You try to fly it over a poor area and throw it up over them.
Here you go, cunts, there's a little treat for you.
Fight over this, you cunts.
Yeah, then I watch them. I get the pilot to circle it so I can watch what happens next. You never know what's going to happen, but always some sort of chaos ensues.
Mr. Dahl has vomited some caviar over us again. We are blessed.
That's it, cunts. Lap it up. Favourite
person... No need to eat it up, it's still warm.
Favourite personality? He's gone, what? What's that supposed to mean? Favourite personality? What's a personality? Like
celebrity
public
from
figure.
TV.
Well, I don't fucking know. They're all cunts, aren't they? Just put me wife and kids. I mean, obviously that's a joke, but they'll probably pick up on the irony. Favourite sound? Easy. Piano. Next question. Favourite TV programme? The news. For the news. Only thing I watch. Let's see what these cunts have been up to today.
Can I put Tales of the Unexpected? No, you can't. Oh, fucking news then.
Put the news then. Fucking hell. Right, stick the news on. Let's see what that cunt Dennis Healy's been saying now. Favourite smell? Bacon frying. Fucking love it.
Yeah.
Favourite book when young? Mr. Midshipman Easy. I think that's what it says.
The fuck's that?
If I wasn't an author, I'd like to be a doctor, and I could be one as well. I just choose not to be. I've been made an honorary doctor, so I could doctor anyone I want. And I have had to do it a couple of times to the lads at the Feathers when we've had accidents.
I might do it when I'm older. I've heard they're going to bring in a rule where you've got to shave the pews of everyone before you inspect them. So
that
I might
quite
do
appeals
it
to me. Quite appeals to me, because what one of the things that put me off being a doctor, which, as I said, I could easily have been, is I didn't like all the pubes getting in the way. But now that you have a right to shave them off before doing out, then they won't put me off, and I find them quite sickening, actually. My most frightening moment? That's a fucking good question, isn't it? I'm going to start asking that any time I interview someone. Right, what's your most frightening ever moment? In a hurricane, 1941 RAF. Quite a good answer, to be fair. My funniest moment, being fucking born.
Being born.
I'll tell you what, that's where the fucking joke begins.
I fucking came out laughing and I've never fucking stopped. Even when my sister died.
You got to see the funny side in everything, because if not, you go fucking mad, I tell you. Motto. My candle bold. Alright, here you go, take this down. My candle burns at both ends. It will not last the night. But my toes and my friends. My foes and oh my friends. It gives a lovely light.
There you go.
That's a message to all those fucking cunts and haters out there. Yeah? But you can fucking say what you fucking want in your little houses, right? And you can sit there and get all bitter and twisted about me. But old roadie boy here could not give a flying fuck.
Living well is the best fucking revenge. Suck it up.
And there's a message to your Kingsley Amoses, yeah? Your fucking Enid Blytons and all the other cunts who've tried to sabotage me along the way.
All the others who tried to take me down for various reasons and
take
various
your fucking
methods.
Belts. Enid Blyton, I took your belts many years ago and you're never getting them back. That's my fucking motto.
Have a look at me fucking candle burning at both fucking ends.
Look at my mantelpiece covered in fucking awards.
So then we've got his writing hut. Oh my God, this is almost over. Roald Dahl wrote his books in a brick hut, which is built especially for him on the edge of the Yorkshire Gypsy House, which is where he lived. It was painted white with a yellow front door. Yellow, again, favourite colour.
Best colour.
The door looks like a writing pad to get me in the mood for when I go in there.
It's the best fucking colour.
Get me acclimatised for it. His writing hut was full of gadgets. A chair with a hole cut out of the back to prevent pressure on his damaged spine.
Ooh, it's got other purposes as well that I will not go into here. But let's just say you can have a lot of fun with a fucking chair that's got a hole in the back.
Roll, would you like a cushion for your spine? I've had a better idea. Cut a fucking hole in the chair. But surely a cushion would
fucking help, get it cut.
Help the pressure. No, a hole. I need a hole.
Need a hole for my back, don't I, dickhead?
A writing board of exactly the right thickness, tilted at exactly the right angle. I don't know what that means.
I'll use a protractor to measure that angle, but the angle's a secret.
Get that fucking angle right.
I don't want to tell any other cons, because other authors will start using the same angle. And it's the tiny margins like that that keep me ahead of the game.
And an old suitcase filled with logs for a footrest.
Yeah. What's in the suitcase? Various things. But what? The logs, mainly.
It's logs.
Logs. Don't look, but it's just logs. It's just normal logs.
There's nothing
logs.
Weird in there.
It's not interesting at all. Just next question.
There's definitely not any dog porn in there.
Just some logs, it's fine.
His legs were tucked up in a green sleeping bag.
Yeah.
What's weird about that?
Yeah.
Look, the books fucking sell. Whatever I have to do to knock him out is what I have to do. It's not weird.
Fucking, am I supposed to write unless my legs are all tucked up?
I've got my legs in a sleeping bag. I've got all of my chair and a fucking suitcase full of dog porn. It works.
I'm in logs.
Logs, yeah. He also rigged up a rickety old electric fire on two parallel wires on the ceiling and would pull it towards him if his fingers got cold. So he's got electric fire hanging from the ceiling. Fuck me.
I'm going to hang that up because the heat's not high enough. I need it at a proper height so it goes towards my face. So my face is kept warm. If I get a cold face, I cannot write.
My legs are all right. They're in the sleeping bag. But if my face goes cold, I'm fucked.
Now, Wendy, what I need you to do is find a way of suspending that gas fire at face level.
I'm going to need some kind of pulley system. Can you set that up for me? Roald wouldn't allow anyone else inside the hood, so it was never cleaned or dusted.
Yeah, it's best you don't go in there. In fact, I'm going to make it mandatory that you can't. Okay, never go in. Just never ever go in there, ever.
I'll tell you what's in there if you ever need to know, for like a section in the back of one of the books or something.
I don't mind telling you, I'll tell you anything about it, but physically, no. We won't go into, let's just say it's a private space for me.
The only thing in the hut that was cleaned regularly was the writing board, which Roald had designed and made himself. It was covered in green felt, and Roald used an old clothes brush to sweep off the bits of rubber from all his rubbings out. He simply swept them on the floor, and that was where they stayed. Yeah, some people might say I'm a fucking pig, but it's my shed. I'll do what I fucking want.
I've turned them down my feathers. Let's just say there's a lot of rubbing goes on in that fucking shed. They know what I'm talking about.
Quite near the hole. I've designed a writing board. Yeah, it's fucking rectangle. Green felt on top. Designed it myself. Took me four months.
Did all the technical drawings. I showed it to a mate of mine who's an architect. He said I could easily be an architect tomorrow without any of the training. Said I had an actual gift for it.
I might do it later on when I'm older. Or the doctoring. Yeah. Not sure yet.
He said he'd give me the certificate there and then. Said he'd write and give his blessing to the Royal Architects Federation or whatever it's called. I said, I appreciate it, but no, I'll stick to the writing for just now.
You're all right. So, yeah, so the floor's covered in all the rubber from the rubbings out. It's also covered in me pubes because I like to shave them off once a week. But put that in the book. Don't put that in the book.
I shave my pubes off because it invigorates me. And it makes me feel ready to create.
It makes me streamlined when I'm trying to write. Especially when I'm going backwards and forwards on the chair with the hole in it. And it says, the hut stands exactly as Roald left it when he died. With everything set up ready for writing, his cigarette ends are in the ashtray and the waste paper basket is almost full. It's as if he had just popped out for a bit.
I wonder why. Do you reckon he had something in his will that no one, even after his death, was allowed to go inside the hut?
I don't know. Has people not been inside the hut since then? Are you not allowed to visit it or something like that? I'm sure. Well, I mean, that's how they know what's in it, don't they? I'm sure there's people have been in the hut or there's been things filmed
dead,
in the hut.
You can go in there, but
15 years after I'm dead and not before.
You can go in there, fine, but you do so at your own risk. If there are things in there that you see that you find upsetting or disturbing or just confuse you, well, you've taken that risk yourself. You're a sound mind.
There's a lot of asbestos in there as well, so you might have to wear one of them masks.
I mean, we didn't have to. In my day, there weren't all the health and safety about asbestos. I never had a problem with it myself, but apparently now you've got to wear masks around it.
The interior of the hut and its contents were moved in 2011 to the Roald Dahl Museum and Story Centre in Great Missenden so that visitors could see inside.
Roald Dahl, it sounds good until the last line. The Roald Dahl Museum and Storage Centre.
Story centre.
Oh, story. I thought it said storage centre. We've got a load of units here, right? Now, it's really good. Each unit is named after a different Roald Dahl character or book. You rent them. We're competitively priced. People say you're a bit more pricey than Big Yellow Storage. And that's true for most size units. But we do have very good welcome offers there. For the first 6 months, it's just like maybe £10 for the smallest entry-level unit. It does go up after that, but you're buying into a brand.
I mean, they said to me, you know, what are you going to do with your money? You need to invest it so you're going to get a regular return on it. And I thought, bang, storage. That's the future.
Everyone's got too much stuff. Consumerism's gone mad. People's homes are too small for the amount of stuff they're buying. It can only head one way, and that is to an explosion in the storage unit market.
So the storage unit was a gift to me kids, really.
And it's still thriving today, I'm glad to say. Because people are stupid. They'll drive halfway across the country to store all their old bits of furniture, you know, boxes full of old magazines and paperwork, that kind of crap, right? They could store it in their local Big Yellow or their Shurgard. Fine, they could. But they'd rather have it in a fucking James and the Giant Peach storage unit in Great Missenden. Who knows why? That's
hey,
branding.
Not far from where you live, Sam. It's about an hour's drive, I reckon.
Yeah? Yeah, I thought I'd heard of it. What is it, in like Buckinghamshire or something?
Great Missenden, just north of High Wycombe.
Oh, yeah, it's Buckinghamshire, I think.
Near Amersham.
Or Hertfordshire, somewhere around there. Yeah, I might go up there, have a little pipe about.
Have a look, report
well,
back
to us. You know me, I'm always in need of new storage solutions.
Exactly, yeah. If you mention you've done these podcasts, you might get a good deal on one.
If I'd known, I could have had the fucking Xerox up there all that time.
And that...
would have been a nicer drive than to fucking Wandsworth.
And that, you cunt, is the end of the Twits Odyssey.
Ah, lovely stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what to do now. Feel
well,
a bit bereft.
Should we tell them what we're going to do next?
I think we've already told them, haven't we? It's going to be the Ripley's Odyssey again.
Yeah. Each year we go back to the Ripley's Odyssey because it's like sort of like our Bible in a way.
Touchstone, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got so to go back to it because the mad thing about Ripley's, believe it or not, is every year there's a whole new set of stuff around this glorious world that makes you stop and say, believe it or not.
Wow. Yeah.
And believe it or don't believe
ourselves.
It.
Do
it's
we
up
believe
to you.
It or do we not? That's starting next week. So if you haven't had one for Christmas, get yourself a copy now.
Yeah.
It might be reduced up the Asda after Christmas. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
It's a tenner on Amazon, but we're saying this before Christmas. It might drop. Yeah. You'll be listening to this after Christmas, so the prices might drop.
Oh, don't get it. It's up to you. Choose to do this however you want. But that's what's happening next. That's the end of the Twits Odyssey. It's been beautiful. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.